What's happening, my beautiful people? You're now tuned into the Big and Bright Podcast.
That's right. It's your boy, Big.
And it's your boy, Bright.
Yes, sir.
Right out of the gates. We have a lot of news to cover today, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of news. Where you want to start, Big?
Well, shout out to Marco making it happen again.
Marco.
You know, some technical difficulties with Skype, but we're making it happen nevertheless. And
Marco's genius is paying off once again. So big ups, big ups to Broken Knuckle Studios and Marco, the impeccable engineer, for doing what he does.
Yes,
and
sir.
Allowing us to continue for our voices to be heard worldwide. Worldwide?
Yes, sir. Yep. Shout out to all the countries that are listening to us. You know, we love and appreciate you guys. There's so many to name, but thank you so much
Canada,
for listening.
Africa, Italy, Brazil, Jamaica, China, Russia. Man, I was shocked to see somebody listen to us in Russia.
Yeah.
That's huge, man.
Yeah, send us something Russian.
Hey, Germany. Bleed up on housing like Schlugen.
I like that. I don't know what it means.
Me love, baby. I was born in Germany, though, so. That's you know, a lot of people don't know that. So, Bright was born in Germany. I'm an army brat. You know, I'm a German baby. I got dual citizenship still to this day. So
nice.
But
let's talk about. I want to talk about your Bears, man, a little bit. Before we get into that, I got a funny story. Okay, I posted this on the Big and Bright Show page on Twitter and Instagram a couple days ago.
Okay.
But our good friend Gilbert Arenas won a $300,000 lottery ticket, the Mega Millions. And this homeless guy predicted that he would win the ticket at a California gas station. And Gilbert Arenas gave my man some of the earnings. He gave him some of the earnings and they hugged for like 5 minutes and, you know, the guy's crying and all this stuff. So I just thought that was a pretty dope story. Wow. Pretty funny, but that was a story. Gilbert Arenas, Agent Zero, wins $300,000.
Like he really needs it.
Right, exactly.
Bastard known to man.
Yeah, he's one of the first guys to get a $100 million contract. He's one of the, well, I would say one of the first, but he's among those guys that were broken off pretty early in the mid-2000s. So shout out to Agent Zero. He's a savage, by the way.
Speaking of savage, what the hell is going on with Quentin Dunbar and the other young man in the NFL?
Man, I need you to tell me, bro.
Man, it seemed like they wanted to be Jack boys, man. You know, I'm not understanding it, man. Quentin Dunbar and Andre Baker, you know, both those gentlemen there, man, you know, just I'm not going to be the one to cast judgment before they have their time and due process and litigation. But for what it sounds like they were trying to be Jack boys, man.
And Florida, yeah, a couple of armed robberies from what I'm understanding.
What the F is going on? Especially with the young boy, Dunbar. Didn't he just sign a new deal with the Giants? A $10 million deal.
Yeah, man, this quarantine is taking a toll on people's minds, man. I don't know what the heck is going on right now, but I know that there's a few guys that getting caught with pistols, shooting firearms, armed robbery. There's a lot going on right now, man. There's a lot going on, especially in the NFL. But it's always the NFL that gets into this kind of trouble. It's always the NFL players, man. It must be them hits they taking or dishing out. But they definitely out here on one, man, right now.
Hey, it's DeAndre Baker. Yeah, so
yeah.
Michael Braco told John Clayton of 710 ESPN Radio that Dunbar, of course, did not do anything illegal. It was not present at a party last Wednesday night when the alleged crime occurred. Dunbar faces four counts of armed robbery with a firearm for allegedly working with Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker to rob people of money, watches, and other items.
Man.
Is it really damn hard in the NFL, man?
It's like, not, bro. It's really man. Not, bro.
Hard pressed?
It's really not, man. Man, these cats just – I don't
damn.
I can't
so
put my –
So you invite everybody over to a party, then you stick them up?
I can't put my finger on it, man, but it's just like they just want to be
–
like they want to have – yeah, exactly. They wanna like they want to have that – yeah.
you know, I don't get it. So again, like I said, I'm not casting judgment, but boy, if this comes out to be true,
yeah,
you got to be a fool, pure stupidity. So
yeah, man,
whatever.
There's some more COVID stuff going on, bro. You know, kind of sad story to report, but Dwight Howard's the mother of his 6-year-old son passed away.
She passed. Before we get into that,
while we're on
NFL players and guns and gun violence and whatnot. We also have a developing story coming out with the young man from the Washington Redskins, correct?
Yeah, Cody Latimer.
Okay. Give us the detailed story on what's going on.
Yeah, so according to our guy Adam Schefter, let me pull this up real quick, bro. According to Adam Schefter, at today's hearing, this was today, Cody Latimer, newly signed receiver for the Washington Redskins, previously of the Broncos and Giants, his attorney, Harvey Steinberg, told the court that he was contacted by law enforcement concerning an investigation of a sexual assault of Cody Latimer's 4-year-old son, allegedly perpetrated by an individual at a weekend poker game.
Wow.
So that is what was told by Latimer's attorney, Steinberg. You know, it's just a lot going on, man. You know, I mean, that's like you and I said when we were on the phone, bro. Like,
if it comes out to be true, that's justified, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's certain things that, you know, it's tough to say what you would do in that situation, man.
Yeah,
you know, and we're definitely not here to judge it. You know, man, we're here to talk about it and talk it through. But, you know, you don't mess with the kids. You don't mess with the wife. You don't mess with the mom. You don't mess with the family, bro.
Exactly. You're right. Know what I mean? Absolutely.
I mean, those are just codes, you know, not even just in the street, but
just in life.
The man codes in life. You know, you don't mess with the fam, bro.
Absolutely.
And abuse, assault, sexual, physical, mental, whatever. No. That's a no-no. You know what I'm saying? And these guys are these are aggressive guys. These are guys who've been playing sports all their lives.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, yeah, some situations are going to – all these guys aren't thugs. All of them are bad guys. Some situations are going to come up, and they're going to have some choices to make, rich or not.
Absolutely.
In the public eye or not. So, you know, prayers to that family, man, because, see, we always look at it from a judge perspective. We always got our gavel and our, you know
– we want to judge, jury, and execution.
Exactly. And it's like you don't know the full stories, man. These people, these are real life situations, man. They go through real stuff in their lives, man.
Yeah.
And not to mention, they're going through COVID-19 too.
Like
even though they're rich and they got endless money and all of this stuff, life is still real out here, man. So, you know, prayers to that family, man. I hope everything goes well for the kid and like his well-being and everything like that. Man, I hope it's, you know, a misunderstanding from that aspect. But, you know, we'll see, man. You know, only time will tell.
Only time will tell. But, you know, jumping back into it, Dwight Howard's mother of his son.
Yeah.
COVID-19. That was very unfortunate.
Now, this is an interesting development because it was reported by NBA Buzz that the mother of Dwight Howard's 6-year-old son, Melissa Rios, passed away from an epileptic seizure weeks ago, Howard told reporters. And then it says, no, she passed from a seizure, not coronavirus. NBA Buzz said, sorry for the mistake based off of conflicting reports.
Wow.
But that's sad nevertheless, man, whether it's a seizure or COVID-19.
Yeah.
I don't know how that could get mixed up. I don't know if they were trying to hide something or what, but you know, I don't know if she has a history of epileptic seizures. I'm not trying to say that right.
Epileptic.
Yeah. I know most of the people that have those kind of seizures, they can't handle too much, like flashing lights and
bring lights. Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. That's the only time I've ever heard of the term epileptic. But that's sad because I know she's young. She's probably in her 30s. If it's a baby mama, he has about 6 or 7 of.
Let's not use the term baby mama. Let's use the mother of his child.
The mother of his child. Okay. I respectfully apologize. I don't want to make it sound like that.
Yeah, that baby mama is that's such a derogatory term, man. You know, just someone is just make it sound like some
jump off.
Got pregnant. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I feel you.
This child. So,
Yeah, so prayers to that family, man. Yale's family, the Howard family.
Yale's family, you know, and then that boy that lost his mother. That's going to be extremely tough for that young man growing up.
Yep. So some of these, you know, speaking of the Lakers and speaking of the NBA at this point, some of these facilities are opening back up amidst this pandemic, man. Okay, what you think about that?
That's right. Mm-hmm. No one gives a flying good damn about these facilities opening up, because you know what should be going on right now is the conference finals. All right.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals. This is late May, mid to late May, folks.
Yep.
So if you plan on opening back up, you're going to be starting your NBA playoffs in June. Not only are you going to be starting your playoffs in June, but
that's not too bad.
No, it is bad, because I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
If you're starting your playoffs in June, and let's say late June, mm-hmm. you have June, you have July, August, and September, right?
Okay.
That'll be going into the season. And the finals wouldn't be played until end of September going into October, okay? Because of the mere fact that the NBA playoffs starts in April and it ends in June. So we got mid-April, May, and then June, right? But if you start it late June, you got late June, July, August going into September. So it won't end until the beginning, probably second week of September, right?
Okay.
Guess what happens in September?
What?
Football.
Well, okay, well, and let's keep in mind. Go ahead.
I'm also going to tell you this, brother. Would you rather watch an NBA Finals game, or would you rather watch an opening of Sunday NFL football? Kickoff weekend.
Well, you know what I'm going to say. That football.
Everyone's going to watch football. Nobody give a damn about the NBA. So that's going to suck.
That's not necessarily true.
That is necessarily true, because the numbers show the most watched sports program in the United States of America by a landslide is the National Football League.
Okay.
It's not even close.
Just real quick to go, let's rewind about 45 seconds ago. When it comes to the NBA playoffs, I don't know if you can remember this or not, and Marco, I don't know if you can recall, but last year, man, they stretched the heck out of them games, dude.
Tell me about it.
I don't know what was going on last year.
Tell me about it.
But it was like game one was like Tuesday, game two was like Friday.
Man, they was trying to milk all they could out of
it. I was like, what are y'all doing?
Yeah, it was tripping.
So with that being said, I believe that the playoff format, number one, I believe that they would minimize at least one of the series from seven games to five, probably the first round.
First round should never be seven games any damn way.
I agree, because the best should win, period. Second of all, I believe that they would get those games to where they're playing every other night. There's no reason, no logical explanation as to why these teams are playing game one and two 4 days apart and those teams having to stay in the same city. I think that because they've been discussing the NBA players going to a secluded place, whether it's like Disneyland or whatever, Florida, California, whatever.
That's whack.
And so they will get the games almost going like a tournament style.
Yeah, and that's awful. Because, again, players can get, you know, the back-to-backs and stuff like that. They've been off for a very long time.
They've been off for a while.
Come back and play. That's not going to work, man. It's going to be a disaster. You're going to have star players going out for next season. And then this is also the kicker. With the season, if they do try to start it back up with the season going as late as it does, well, guess when the NBA season starts back up?
October. November. Yeah.
In October, early November. You're going to have a bunch of worn out, injured players.
They was talking about the season starting in like February or something like that.
Get the hell, man. Give it up. Because then you've been unscrewed everything. You've been unscrewed two seasons trying to save one.
Yeah, Shaq says
all
that.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
All because of LeBron trying to get her damn ring.
Right.
F you, man.
Talking about we're ready.
I don't give a damn how ready you are. You'll be ready next year.
Right. He's talking about there's no reason why anybody should be. And he used the word any. When he said anybody, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. You don't get to dictate people's comfort level with a pandemic.
Absolutely.
When he was like, nobody should be trying to take this time off. And no, dude, stop. Because y'all wasn't going to win anyway.
Exactly. But he's trying. He thinks it's his best opportunity to try to win a ring. So he's chasing a ring right now.
You know what? And I think he's chasing it even more because it is because of the Michael Jordan and the Bulls, you know, documentary. You know, he's hoping to get back out there.
He's not beating the Clippers in a 7-game.
Oh, I'm with you. Only for the sake of the NBA would they even make it a Lakers Clippers Western Finals.
Oh, you know,
I don't think they're the best. I don't think they're a top four Western team. But let's not forget about some of these other teams, man.
Like Denver.
Denver. That's exactly who was on my mind. Denver. You got Dallas. Houston, who possibly could give them a run for their money.
Dallas.
Dallas. I mean, and then, too, you don't even know what the full matchups are going to be. So for him to be like, oh, we're ready and nobody should be taking time off, bro, chill out. And how did he get all that hair back? Where did LeBron get all his hair from, fam?
I'm going to tell you. It's called it's called shave my ass and put it on my head. That's what it is. That high tech surgery.
It's working.
Surgical hair.
I don't know if they're gluing it, if they
pressing it. When he puts his head down, it's like just pure spinach. Look like you know, and then like in the middle it looked like they just got a bunch of ass hairs on his head, man. It's super thin. It's all you know. Kevin Durant really needs a full hair transplant because them ass hairs he got on his head, he got like between the sack and the crack hairs, bro.
Man, you are not going to do that.
He got those type of hairs on his head that's between the sack and the ass and the asshole, bro. Like, oh my goodness. God. Like, those are the nappiest hairs ever.
Man, you are stupid.
Like, KD. Like,
let's just ask for them to shave off his leg hairs and his arm hairs and use those accordingly.
No, because those hairs are the same, bro. He has no hairs on his legs, but I'm sure if his head is nappy, you can only imagine what the buck shots up under his arms. Like, my Christ. Man. All
right, man. So...
But jumping off the NBA, man, you wanted to get on my Bears. We, you know.
Yeah. Let's think about the Bears a little bit, man.
Speak your piece about my Bears.
The Bears.
Okay. And I'm just going to keep it 100, man. Like, I'm not – Bright is a Lions hater. Like, he hates their guts. He hates everything about the Lions except the fact that they played in the Silverdome, which – that's the city where we were from. That we're from, but when it comes to the Bears, I only hate them as a rival. I don't hate them like legitimately. Like, oh, I hate the Bears. So I'm gonna just speak my piece. Ultimately, the Bears have one of the top 5-7 defenses in the NFL.
You had to go 5-7, didn't you? But go ahead.
I mean, you could put them where you want. You could say 4-2-3-1, whatever. You're gonna say top number one anyway. I'm just saying because you got to look at teams like Philly, Buffalo, Baltimore, you know, Seattle. You got to respect those.
You can only go off of what we finished.
San Francisco.
Here. We finished the top five defense.
Okay, so yeah.
Just the top five, right?
Okay.
So go ahead.
So we'll say top five. That's fine. I'll even give you that. Okay. That being said, you guys are not the 0-2 Buccaneers, and you're certainly not the 2000 Ravens, where they can go 7-9 games without a touchdown and just kick field goals and hold teams to 10 or 9 or 12 or 13 points. Y'all ain't them, okay? Let's first of all say that. Those are historic defenses. You guys have probably at least 3 to 4 future Hall of Famers if their careers continue to go upward. You know, Fuller, I think, is a Hall of Famer, potentially one day. Possibly Trevathan. For sure, Mack. Quinn, we don't know yet because we don't know how long he has and his numbers comparison to other guys. That being said, you guys got Eddie Jackson. Y'all got some guys. I'm not going
to – Wait. Picks.
I'm not going to discount y'all.
Both of them will probably be Hall of Famers.
Well, I'm going to say y'all got at least four for sure.
Okay.
I'm just going to be fair. I'm not being biased or anything. That being said, y'all got some nice pieces in place. Offensively, You got some weapons. You got receivers. I think y'all signed Jimmy Graham, who's like washed up, but he can possibly catch y'all 7 touchdowns. You know, he can do some things in the red zone. I don't know who y'all running backs really are because y'all got rid of Jordan Howard. I know y'all got Cohen, but who is y'all main guy?
David Montgomery.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. The quarterback situation is a cause for concern for me. I don't have any confidence in Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky. You know Mitchell Trubisky is the bottom of a shoe, so we already know that. Nicky Nine, as you call him, he ain't really did nothing since the Super Bowl. He has a history of injuries. I'm not, you know, let's not act like he don't. He's had some injuries that has kept him out some games, but he has proven clutch when his team needed him. The first go around with Philly, he was pretty good. I think he was like 27-2 or some crazy. He had some crazy start to his career. He got traded for whatever reason. I don't know. He came back, saved the day. So you got to look at how he's a year older. He's coming off of an injury. He's with a new system. I just don't have confidence in him. Until he shows that he can deliver, because he's only had success in Philly. He's been on 4 teams. He's only had success in Philly twice.
He has success in Kansas City, too.
Huh?
He has success in Kansas City, too.
No, he didn't, because I forgot he even played for them.
He had success in Kansas City. He was undefeated when Alex Smith went down. Thank you.
What did he go, 2-0?
Do your research, and guess who the coordinator there
was. What did he go, 2-0?
Yeah, he went 2-0.
He threw
for 800 yards. He threw for 800 yards in those 2 games, and he threw for 12 touchdowns to 1
I'm just trying to help you out, man. I want you to save your energy. I'm about to let you have it. I'm almost done.
Okay.
You have a lot of confidence in the Bears. Y'all went, 12-4 and 18?
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all went 8-8 in 19.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you can go anywhere from 6 to 11 or 12 wins this upcoming season, right? Am I right? Is that safe to say?
Yeah. Maybe more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the skeptics have you guys as the last team in the division.
The skeptics now, all had us going to the Super Bowl last year. So that's just how much they know.
And they had the Browns going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
To the Super Bowl, and they went
exactly all of
5-11. All right, now I'm going to let you have it. Tell me why you got so much confidence in Nicky Nine and the Chicago Bears team.
The reason why I have so much confidence, we'll get to Nicky Nine in a minute, but you take a top 5 defense. You take in our weak spots. You take our weak spots were the opposite side of Khalil Mack, which was held by I can't even think of his name no more.
Leonard Floyd, was it?
Leonard Floyd, yeah, because he's gone.
He was now, the Rams.
You take Leonard. Okay, he was the weak point in that defense. You take him out. You add in Robert Quinn, a strength. Okay. Now we were missing Akeem Hicks most of last season because he was injured. You insert him. He's healthy. Okay. You take out another weak spot, which was held by my man who left from out. You know, he was in back there with Eddie Jackson. Ha ha, Clinton Dix.
Where did he go?
You take him out. I don't know. He signed a 1-year deal with Dallas, I think.
Okay.
You take him out. You insert Tyshawn Gibson, an All-Pro. Okay. So now a defense that was ranked top 5, you just inserted 2 All-Pros into a top 5 defense. That's already filled with all pros. That's very scary.
That's a good look. That's a good look.
So that alone boosts you a win and a half in a season. At least 1 win, right?
One would think.
1 to 2 wins. Okay. So that 8-8 just became 9-7, 10-6-ish, right?
Okay.
Now, also, on the offensive end, right, the move that we made, you have a offensive line guru, an offensive line guru in Juan Castillo, who's been known to fix offensive lines throughout the NFL.
I just got one quick question about that. Is he a new offensive line coach this year?
No. He's been doing it his whole for the last 28 years. He's been coaching in the NFL.
So how long has he been offensive line coach for the Bears?
This would be his first year for the Bears. But
okay, that's my question.
We hired him for that reason.
And y'all lost Long, right? Kyle Long?
He retired.
He retired. Did y'all replace him?
We replaced him last season when he went out on injury. Okay. So that's nothing new, okay? So we replaced him with, you know, with Alex Bars, Jermaine Ifedi, whoever takes that spot, right?
Okay.
But regardless of the fact, we have great coaching there. And we have a scheme that'll go with our head coach's coaching style. Because again, Juan Castillo, Bill Lazor, and Matt Nagy were all together in Philadelphia the year they won. You know what I'm saying? They were all together in Philadelphia. So Bill Lazor, quote unquote, he's the quarterback coach, right? This is the same guy that got the most out of Andy Dalton when he was in Cincinnati, okay? Which they got Bill Lazor to come in and try to bring the most out of Mitch Trubisky. But hey, whatever. They're all going to work cohesively together, right? Now, I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky. He's going to be the backup come week one. But this is what I'm saying. When you said Nick Foles, a new system. No, this is not a new system. This is the same system he ran in Philly. He knows it like the back of his hand. Okay? So he's hitting the ground running. We don't have to show him how to read a defense because he knows how to pick a defense apart. That's why he's a Super Bowl MVP. Also, this is a seamless – This is a seamless insertion for him. You place him in this offense. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about nothing because he knows the playbook like the back of his hand, unlike Mitch, and he's not constricted to only running the first four plays in the playbook like Mitch was. That opens up the offense so much more. So the quarterback that automatically knows the system, knows how to hit open guys and can read a defense – last year we had – we had a good – and this is no lie. If you have the all-access, all-22 access, if you go every game, there were games where the right play was called and guys were running wide open for touchdowns in the game and Mitch didn't find them. Not only did he not find them, when he did find them, he couldn't hit them. Now we have an accurate passer who steps up and steps inside of the pocket and can deliver the throw to these playmakers. Now, when I say playmakers, I mean seriously playmakers. We have
name us a few
on the outside. We have the young boy Anthony Miller on the outside. The Lion Killer is what I like to call him on the outside. Anthony Miller. We have Ted Ginn Jr. in the slot. We also We also have Calvin Ridley as a backup. We also have
hold up. Who? From the Falcons?
No, his brother, Ridley. It's Calvin. Oh, the other Ridley.
Riley? Is it Riley?
Riley Ridley from Georgia.
Okay. I'm like, Calvin Ridley pay for y'all?
Well, I'm sorry.
You should be the number two.
We got Riley Ridley. And then we also have, you know, Cordell Patterson and whatever. At the tight end spot, we can go double tight because we have Cole Kmet. He is going to be a beast. Young boy out of Notre Dame. And then we still got Jimmy Graham there, who is a big body and a red zone threat. Yeah. We're not looking for Jimmy Graham to be the end-all, be-all, go down the field, take it to the house tight end. That's what we got Cole Kmet for.
Okay.
We're looking for Jimmy Graham to be inside from the 20 on in. He's going to get us there. Big body. So with that said, though, the defense pumped us up at least 1 to 2 wins. Our quarterback play, which last year was non-existent, but our quarterback play from Nick Foles already knowing the offense, because this is the same offense that he ran in Philly and thus got him a Super Bowl, that's going to boost us at least 1 to 2 wins as well. So at worst, and last year when everything went wrong from injuries to non-existent quarterback play, and we still went 8-8.
What was your record in the division?
But we were in the division. We were 4-2. Both losses came to the Packers. We swept the Lions and we swept the Vikings.
Do you believe that's going to happen again?
Yeah. I believe it's flunked with ease. I believe we sweep the Vikings. I believe, in all honesty, we split with the Pack. And we go 5-1 in the division.
Man, you are what did you
can
I know go, before we got on
we can only
I know
before go off what we saw last year, right?
Before we got on the air, you had a some kind of drink or something. You had, was this some? You had something serious in there.
Called an Italian icy.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. See,
that must have been a spike.
I'm eating, huh? Only
that must have been. No, I thought it was a drink. I didn't say nothing about eating.
How was it a drink when I had a spoon? Come on now. Anyhow, what I'm saying is this, brother.
It must have been spiked, man.
Nah, you tripping. I don't understand why you think you have a shot when you've been getting your collective asses whooped all throughout the division. You haven't beat anybody in the division since Matt Patricia taken over. You do know
that's true. That's very true. You have not heard me argue that point. My thing is this. This is what I said to you, and I'm going to tell the world. Nobody's scared of the Bears.
Okay? You don't have to be. No one's asking you to be afraid of us. We're not asking you to be afraid. All I'm saying is that we're making the playoffs, and we won't be the
wild card. You legit think that the Bears are going to go 5-1 in the division?
If not 6-0.
How?
You know both losses to the Pack wasn't blowouts. It was single
digits. It's a different year, though, bro.
Right. So why the hell are you hanging your hat on last year?
I'm not hanging my hat on anything. I'm just trying to get a clear understanding as to where you go. I mean, you got y'all boys going. I mean, y'all went 4-2 in the division.
I just explained it to you. Did you not hear what I told you?
I heard what you said, but how can you possibly expect you to sweep the Vikings? That's a joke.
We swept
them. That happens once. That doesn't happen all the time.
I don't understand. We swept them the last 2 years. Have you done your research?
Yeah, I remember we had that conversation.
Okay, we swept them the last two years.
So you think that's going to continue? Are you crazy? That'll keep happening, bro.
The reason why I'm going to say it's going to continue is because they've got rid of. Do you know who they got rid of?
Man, fam, the Vikings had the best draft in the division.
Are you expecting rookies to come in and pick up where those veterans or be better than the veterans that they lost? Are you saying that? Are you saying that to me right now? This season, this upcoming season, are you saying that you're expecting rookies to contribute more than the veterans that they lost last year that was starters? Yes or no? Answer that question.
That's not a yes or no question.
Yes, it is. Because you're saying that what you just brought up, this draft class, saying that with the draft class that they had, okay. So you're expecting the rookies to come and produce more than the veterans that started last year because of their draft class.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of football.
Which will produce. So you're expecting these rookies to produce more than the veterans who started that started last year to give them more wins. That's what you're expecting when you're bringing up this draft class. That's not going to happen.
That's the beauty of football. They don't have to necessarily produce more than who left in order for them to continue on the right stride. They don't have to. Are you going to let me explain?
I'm waiting on you on this.
The only major loss that Minnesota suffered is Diggs leaving. Diggs being traded. Let me explain.
Okay. You said Diggs was the only major loss. So only one. Rick wasn't a major loss on that defense?
He washed
Trey
up.
Trey Lanez wasn't a major loss on that defense?
Nope.
Rhodes wasn't a major loss on that defense? Both of them were starting corners.
Rhodes was terrible last year. Trey Waynes has never found his true identity as a starting cornerback, and Everson Griffin is washed up. Smart teams let these players go at the right time, and the Vikings know what they're doing. You can't tell me that you wouldn't love to have a general manager like Rick Spielman. Rick Spielman makes the right moves all the time, and his track record is there for the proof. The last 3 or 4 years, the Vikings have had the better draft in the division, better than anybody else in the division.
Well, hold on.
The track record shows it. You can look at the draft picks and their production.
Outside of this year, this is the only year they made the playoffs. Before that, they didn't make the playoffs.
That's not true. The Vikings lost to the Saints. No. They beat the Saints because they had
They beat the Saints last year.
Right, and they beat the Saints the year before that, too.
No, they didn't. They didn't make the playoffs the year before that.
Okay, the year before that then, because remember when Diggs caught that pass on the sideline over the Saints?
2 years. That was about 2-3 years
ago. That was 2 years. Exactly. So
Breaks beat off of them by Philly. Remember that?
Okay.
Remember that?
Let's Let's not Let's not get cute.
Hold on.
You still
okay. When they got the brakes beat off over my Philly, who was the quarterback?
Before I answer that, Minnesota won a playoff game before they got the brakes beat off of them. Am I correct? When is the last time the Bears won a playoff game?
I told you.
When is the last time the Bears won a playoff game?
I think the last time they've been to the playoffs, which was
it's been years.
2010. When they went to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, and y'all just won the division a couple years ago. Y'all was 12-4.
Yeah.
What happened to y'all?
We lost the wild card game 17-15.
So don't get cute. Don't get cute, man. The Vikings.
Where are you going?
I'm trying to explain it. The Vikings, historically, in the last five seasons, have had a better year than y'all. You could say y'all swept them, but they have finished higher, and they've won playoff games every year. They just won a playoff game this past season. They just won a playoff game a couple years ago. So every year they make the playoffs, they tend to get at least one, which is more than we could say for the Chicago Bears. Am I right or am I wrong? That's a yes or no question.
And more than anything, we can say for your sorry Lions, who ain't won.
You're absolutely right. But guess what, though?
Hey.
You don't get cute on me.
No.
The Vikings are better than the Bears. Vikings are better than the Bears.
Okay. If you say so, I'll let you die on that hill. But again, as I
told you,
we swept them 2 years straight. So say what you want.
So that's over.
They can't beat us. So just like y'all.
Okay.
Y'all can't beat us.
So what was your explanation, Jim Caldwell? When Jim Caldwell was here with the Lions, Jim Caldwell finished his career here as the winningest coach in Lions history. He was 36-28. Guess what his record was against the Bears?
We was terrible them years, and we had terrible coaching. Your point? We was rebuilding.
What was Lovie Smith's record against the Lions? Now we're
you want to bring that up?
You just got done telling me.
Do you want to bring that up? Are you answering the question or not? Do you want to bring up Lovie Smith's record against the Lions?
Ladies and gentlemen, he pulled card. The Lions
he got
have been
real
rebuilding.
I'm
still talking all the time.
Okay, so Lovie Smith's record against the Lions. You want to bring that up?
The Lions have been rebuilding for 60 years, yet we beat you all four times in a row, right?
But y'all rebuilding. Before you got your four wins, how many times we kicked y'all teeth in? Yearly. I think we beat y'all damn near 10 straight years.
Not true. Not
damn
true.
Near.
But anyway, we talk about the here
and
now.
Yeah, exactly.
And the here and now is y'all not better than the Vikings, bro. That's what we need to admit. I need you to admit that. Y'all not better than them.
Until y'all can
finish the season higher than them.
We did in 2018.
Y'all can beat them 10 years.
We did in 2018. So what are you talking about? We swept them in 2018 and we finished 12-4.
And what was their record?
I think it was like 9-7 or 10-6.
Okay.
Okay.
And then this year, the
Vikings finished 10-6 and the Bears finished 10-8 after all the catastrophic things that happened to us that season.
Listen at you, catastrophic.
It was catastrophic. We had little to no quarterback play. And then we had major injuries. So it is what it is.
Hey man, the ball bounces up and down the field on East End, baby. So come on, man. You don't have to have a rebuttal for everything. Sometimes you're trying to hear
like a Lions fan. Like,
You're not better than my big brother. No, I have not stated anything close to that.
Brother's ass the last 2 years.
No, what you need to do is admit if there's a team that's better than you. And it's okay, man.
What are you talking about? Any team is better than us. It's the Packers in the division. Because we haven't beaten
the Vikings are better than the Packers.
Who won the division championship last year?
The Packers.
Okay then. In 2018, who won the division crown? The Bears. Shut up.
The Vikings just won it the year before that, bro. So let me ask you this: who's going in a better direction?
We don't know.
The Vikings.
Look, you can suck their purple meat all you want.
I'm not sucking a thing, bro.
You want to be a purple people eater?
No, man. I'm just trying to go right ahead. You always trying to flip something like that.
All I'm saying is this.
Nah, man.
You keep saying who's in a better direction. We don't know. What the hell are you talking about? They were wild cards the last 2 years. How is that a better direction?
They you won a playoff game last year. Y'all didn't even make the playoffs.
It don't matter. Listen, what you keep saying they won a playoff game.
The postseason is what matters.
I'm telling you. You either win it all or you don't. You either first or you last.
You got to go to the playoffs to have a chance to win it all.
Listen to me. I don't care because you got in as a playoff team and you beat some team that shouldn't have been there. We're not talking about the Saints here as like juggernauts. They're not. The Saints have been choke artists how many years in the NFL? When it comes to the big game, they choke. They're the modern-day Dallas Cowboys. What are you talking about? Regular season champions.
Bro, y'all haven't won a playoff game in 10 years, and you sitting up here with your
You haven't won a playoff game in damn near 40. What are you talking about?
We haven't won a playoff game in 27 years.
Bro, what?
To be exact, 28, somewhere around there, 29.
Bro, you're going on 40 years. Can you count? 92?
91.
It's about to be 2022. Can you count?
It hasn't even been 30 years yet.
Can you count?
In 2021, it'll be 30 years since they won a playoff game. It's 29 years, bro.
Bro.
Not 40.
92.
Not 40.
Listen. 92 to 2002 is 10 years, brother. 2002 to 2012 is 20 years, brother.
I know that.
2012, you suck. You flat out suck. Okay.
Listen, man. You don't have to preach this to the choir, brother.
But see, for those who
I said nothing about the Lions this whole time.
The Big and Bright Show. For those who are listening to the Big and Bright Show, this is why I freaking hate the Lions. Because Lions fans are high, they're delusional, speak as if they've won damn thing remotely worth mentioning in their whole piss poor ass franchise history. They haven't won a damn thing ever.
There's only two things that I said about the Lions this whole conversation, and that was that.
Bro, you're a Lions fan speaking on. Listen, you're a Lions fan speaking on Vikings.
I'm telling you that they're better than you, and you can't even admit it.
How can a team. Okay, listen. Hey, and this is the honest to God truth, folks. Okay? It don't matter if you're whatever, right? At the end of the day.
If you're whatever, right? What does that mean?
Is Mike Tyson better than Buster Douglas? Is Buster Douglas better than Mike Tyson at the end of the day?
Mike is better.
No, he's not. Because you know why? He got knocked out by Buster Douglas. So how does that make him better? Man to man, when we man up and we see each other in the streets and I beat your ass just because you knocked out somebody else, does that mean you better than me? No, you can't beat me.
So they had one-on-one battle. Mike Tyson had a way better career.
We're talking about head to head. Who's better, Mike or Buster? All we know is Buster knocked him out.
If you're willing to go after that one bout,
was there a rematch? No.
Hey, if that's what we're going off of,
who won? Buster Douglas, right?
That's all we got to go off of.
Yeah. When they see each other, man to man, who won? Buster Douglas, at the end of the day. Again, at the end of the day, you had four tries. The Bears beat your ass all four times.
Can we do something a little different? Can we ask Marco? Can we ask Marco this question? Marco, this is the situation. The Bears beat the Vikings four straight times, right? 2 years, two regular season games back-to-back, right? But the Vikings got – they finished higher, and they went further as far as the playoffs. The Bears didn't even make the playoffs. Are you going to take the Vikings, or are you taking the Bears? You're taking a team that got beat four times but advanced further when it really counts in the postseason, or are you going to take a team that won four times and didn't even make the playoffs? Which one are you going with, Marco? I can't see it. Can you see it?
We can't see it.
He's taking the Vikings, see? Because it matters because they went further. You can beat me every time in a regular season. If you can't go far in the playoffs, or you didn't even make the playoffs. The Vikings made the playoffs and they won a game. That's better for me. That's what I want. I'll lose to you, and we're gonna see y'all down the line again. But I'm a Bears hater though. Got you. That's cool. But at the end of the day,
I'm gonna tell you this.
Everybody wants to advance further. Am I right? I mean, that's what it's about.
But, again, 12-4 and sweeping a team, and then you going 8-8 and sweeping a team.
You better than them. You flat out better than them.
I'm sorry. I just can't get with that.
Flat out better than them.
And you know what? I don't have no disdain. The only team I have a disdain for is the Packers. I don't hate the Vikings. I don't hate the Bears. Y'all not even as good as both teams are, and I respect all the teams. Y'all not even that dope to even be worrying about that much. Like, the Lions lost to the Packers twice last year. Both times the Lions had the lead for 59 minutes and 59 seconds of that game. Only for 1 second did the Packers hold any lead. So that's the team that I'm like, we want to beat them. Y'all, ain't nobody worried about the Bears. Y'all, we're going to beat y'all the first game of the season. We normally split with the Vikings. Well, not since Patricia been there, but
when Caldwell was there. 0-4 against that same Bears team, that's not dope.
Huh?
No, y'all the only defense in the NFL that makes Trubisky look like a freaking all-pro.
Hey, I can't even argue that, bro.
And you going to sit up here and say you're not worried about us? You better be.
Nope. Because you know who I'm worried about? I'm worried about Matt Patricia getting up out of here. He is terrible. I'm more worried about getting him out of town.
He going to leave town and he going to take you right with him. Ride y'all lying right out of town.
No, sir. He got to go. Let's get into this big and bright top 10, man.
Top 10, baby. Top 10.
Yes, sir. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go first. Well, this one, we're going to go top 10 states that we visited.
Yes.
That we enjoyed the most. So top 10. So big, hit us with your top 10 states.
Now, this week, I took the time to put these states in order. Big loves to travel. Most of the places I've been is down south. You'll find that out. But I love to travel. I do love and enjoy the sun, but I'm not a sun guy. I can't live in a hot state. That's just not what I'm built for right now. But it's all good. All right, my top 10 state, my dad is from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He's a Roll Tide fan through and through. He was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, October 2nd, 1954. So Alabama, I visited probably about 8 times in my life. It's a very hot state. Very hot. They got red dirt and everything, man. It's a little, you know, it's just like a little country, man. But it's, you know, it's Alabama. I don't really got a whole bunch of great things to say about it, but it's not a bad place to be. I visit the stadium.
It's a very bad place to be. Ain't a damn thing going on in Alabama.
Well, they got a nice team. The Roll Tide stadium is pretty beautiful. It's pretty nice. But yeah, you're right. It ain't much going on there.
Damn thing going on in Alabama. Which I people in their right damn mind to go to school there. What the hell is in Tuscaloosa?
They got like two gas stations, bro, and like two convenience stores. It's like, yeah, it's not.
No, damn, so hell, I spent a red hot, man, look, I would waste a wet fart in Alabama, bro. And my mom was born down in Alabama. No freaking way.
We love mom, our fans in Alabama. Don't run our Alabama fans away. We love Alabama. And you know, but I will say this though, it has a funny smell down there. Every time I go there, it's a funny smell in the air. It smells like somebody been spitting tobacco or something.
It's, you know what it's called? Smell. Manure. Cow dung. That's what it is. That's all that's around there. Cows dropping.
Don't disrespect dump. Alabama like that. Don't do them like that.
Man, bump Alabama. I hate it. I hated it every time I went as a kid. I hated it.
Well, I got family there, so I love my family.
I got bunches of family there. I hate Alabama. Next.
I hear you. All right. My number 9 state that I visited, which probably should be higher up on my list, but I've only been there like twice, Tennessee. Tennessee is a very beautiful state, lots of hills and valleys, particularly Memphis. My uncle, who's a pastor in New York, he actually is a pastor in New York City. His church in Alabama in Tennessee was right next door to Al Green's house. So he lived in Memphis. He lived in Nashville. Beautiful place to visit. I love it. I love Tennessee. So that's number 9. Probably should be higher up on my list, but like I said, I didn't spend too much time there. So that's why it's number 9. Number 8. The great state of Illinois, you know, the one that says, when you read it, it says Illinois. Illinois, the great state of Illinois, particularly Chicago, beautiful city. Illinois is number 8. I have a cousin that's a pastor there. I got pastors in my family. I don't know why. But they tend to be pastors in these great places. But, yeah, Illinois, Chicago is a beautiful place. I want to go back and visit some of the nice restaurants they have, some of the parks that I hear they have. I just want to spend more time there, but I've been there a few times as well. Number 7, Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is nice. It's one of those places you go, it's like really peculiar. It kind of reminds you of home, but it's a lot of differences there. I didn't spend too much time there, but the time that I did spend there was, the people were really nice there. So I enjoyed Pennsylvania. Number 6, North Carolina. Man, the big love him some Carolinas, man. North Carolina is a dope place. The place where I was at, it was a lot of grass, a lot of trees. I love the greenery. I love nature, places to fish, places to hunt. North Carolina is that place. Number 5, South Carolina. Man, I love South Carolina. Myrtle Beach in particular. I visited Myrtle Beach for a whole week. It was amazing, dude. Like, the beaches, the hotels, the people. It was so much to do, man. Being out there in Myrtle Beach, like, I really can't describe it. It was just like people was just out all night. They was riding motorcycles with lights everywhere, and people were loud, and it was just like it was 12 noon in, like, L.A. It was super dope. I loved it. You stayed up all night. You just enjoyed, like the Ferris wheel was going, 12 midnight. People was walking on the strip. It was super dope. What'd you say?
Sounds like you were there during Black Bike Week.
I don't know, but it was a great time. Myrtle Beach is dope. South Carolina itself, North Charleston. Shout out to my brother Gerard. Him and his wife lives there. My brother-in-law, my wife's brother. They have a beautiful home there. We spent the whole week with them. They took us around sightseeing.
Big.
A lot of historical places.
Big. Yeah. You burn off 15 minutes talking about.
Sorry, I got a little beside myself there. South Carolina, number 5. Number 4, Georgia. ATL, shout out to the A. Got a lot of people there. Friends and family love it. First time I went to an underground mall. Pretty dope, man. Nice city, Atlanta. Number 3, Florida. I visited Miami. Got married 10 years ago, and we flew out to Miami. And then we went to a cruise and stuff like that. But the city of Miami was super dope, man. Dade County. A lot of Cubans, a lot of Jamaicans, man. Just loved it. It was cool. It was pretty cool. Number 2, my brother lives out there. Shout out to my brother Vince. Arizona, man. AZ in his house, man. He's been to a few Arizona Cardinals games. He's really going to check them out this year now that they got DeAndre Hopkins. He's excited about that. Arizona, Phoenix, Chandler area. Dope, man. Super dope. I recommend if you go there, go in the spring or the fall. Don't go in the summertime. It's terrible. Or maybe even the wintertime.
You're saying recognize Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
You said what?
Wow.
You said what?
The same state. They don't recognize Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
I didn't know that. We're going to chop it up about that when we get off the air.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, all right. Keep going.
Yeah, I had no idea about that. All right. Number 1, Cali. California love, baby. I visited California about 4 times, a week at a time when I go. It's a beautiful state. I visited Long Beach, Anaheim, Los Angeles. I did the Hollywood Walk. I saw the Hollywood sign. We went up in the hills and seen all the celebrity homes. We seen the stars. Super dope place, man. We visited Rodeo Drive, did a little shopping, did a little eating. California was actually the first place that I went and had sushi. So it was super dope. This is back in like 2006. It was my first time there. California is my number 1, man. So those are my top 10 states that I visited. Love them. I plan on visiting more. Yep, that's it.
All right. So you've never been to New York?
Never been to New York. The only place I've been on the East Coast was Pennsylvania. So I'm looking forward to New York, Jersey, Boston, Brooklyn, all of that, you know, everything out there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm running down my top 10. Of course, I've been a lot of places, mostly more international, but, you know, just going on the journey. You know, I go with number 10 here, which would be Delaware.
Okay.
But yeah, Delaware, man, that's a very shocking place. The reason why I like Delaware, it has a lot of history during the Revolutionary War and whatnot. It's very dope, man. It's very stoic, as they say. And they don't have any state tax. None nice. Whatsoever. And Delaware is the credit capital of just about the world between them and Connecticut. Which brings up Connecticut, number 9, Connecticut. Very nice state. You know, you want to see some rich stuff, man, go to Greenwich. You know, I got family in Hartford. You know, Connecticut is very, very, very nice. Dropping down to number 8, I have to go with none other than Ohio. Cedar Point. What? Cedar Point. You know, you got Kings Island. It's pretty much an amusement park heaven, man. That whole state, you know, is an amusement park heaven. It's very fun, man. It's a lot of things to do in Ohio. So Ohio definitely gets love at number 8.
Okay.
Number 7, I think I would have to go with Minnesota. And to be totally honest, man, Minnesota is where it's at, where you can actually express and really experience the land in total, man. You know what I'm saying? I went horseback riding. I went snowmobiling. I went skiing. Wow. You know, ice fishing and all that good stuff, man. So that was pretty dope. Minnesota, that was pretty dope.
Okay.
Definitely. That's pretty cool. Where we at? Number 7. I'm going to have to put, in all honesty, man, I don't want to, but South Dakota. South Dakota. You would think that is the most boringest place on the freaking planet, which it is. But if you're into camping, if you're into seeing the sights, the northern lights, and things like that, South Dakota is your spot. And you got the, you know, the Washington Monument, not the Washington Monument, but, you know, the president's heads, they're all on the mountains in South Dakota. So I've seen that, man. That was pretty dope. That was definitely pretty dope. Number 6, I would have to go with Philly. And you know, just because of Philly.
I want to go to Philly.
You know what I'm saying? Philly is live, man. Philadelphia,
PA. They got a lot of history there. A
lot of history in Philadelphia, PA. I went to see the Liberty Bell. You know what I'm saying? I ate one of those famous cheesesteaks that everybody that I had better here in Michigan. But, you know, I'm just being honest.
Right, Dave.
It is what it is. But, you know what I'm saying? You go and everybody will sign the wall right there in Philly, you know what I'm saying, at the cheesesteak spot. Kobe Bryant, he's from there, so he signed everything. So that was pretty cool.
You know what? Real quick, I'm going to cut you off just for 1 second. A lot of legends came out of Philly, man. Bill Cosby, Will Smith, Kobe, Kevin Hart. Oh, my God, dude. Legendary city, bro.
Interrupt me to say that pointless piece of information. That everyone knew.
That's a shout-out.
Everyone knew that. But okay.
Big legends, man. Big-time legends.
Somebody, I thought you was going to name somebody, you know, like most people don't know.
But no, I'm big-time legends, man. Some people don't know that.
Really? They don't know that Kevin Hart's a big-time legend. They don't know Will Smith is a big-time legend. They don't know some Bill Cosby's a big-time legend.
Some people don't know that they're from Philly, bro.
Really? They don't know that they're from Philly, even though they talk about it.
Some people don't know. Some people don't know. Go ahead, man.
Don't ever interrupt. Finish. Yeah. Number 6, we're going to go with none other. I can't believe this guy, man. Maryland, the state of Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow.
That is a very, very beautiful city. Regardless of what people may think from The Wire, man, that's only one spot. You go around Baltimore, man, you go by the harbor, man, some of the best food you'll ever eat. You know, it's amazing how other people's downtowns, they actually use it. They actually use the harbor to their advantage, as opposed to here in Detroit, where you got that beautiful lake, you got that beautiful lakefront scenery. You do nothing with it. You see a junkie, a crackhead or something stumbling by asking you for a damn dollar or something. It's just the truth, you know. It's just, come on, man. But you know, Baltimore, you don't see that, you know. So it's dope, you know what I'm saying? You got people that's performing street magic and street performers all up and down the harbor. Excellent food, excellent music, You know what I'm saying? It's just like a mixing and jumbo pot. It's just like a melting pot of different backgrounds right on the harbor. It's dope, man. Yeah.
If you never been, it's really diverse out there.
Very diverse. If you've never been, I suggest you try that. Number five, I'm gonna go with Washington, D.C. The whole District of Columbia. No, it's not a state, but to me it is. The District of Columbia. It's amazing, man. You really can't even consider it a state because it's not. It's just a District of Columbia. You know, that's the only little piece that we got where, you know, it's not a state. It's just it's like its own entity. That's weird, ain't it? But DC is live. The go-go music, the Somalian girls, everything. It's wild out there, man. I had a great time when I was in DC. The food, the crime is real rampant. However, Georgetown right outside of DC, man, if you want to experience fine dining and fine dining and amazing nightlife with all the amenities and just the ritzy life, Georgetown is where it's at. Right outside of Georgetown, that's definitely where it's at. Number four, getting down to the nitty-gritty, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee. Just Nashville, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee. That's Bright's second home, man. I love Tennessee. Everything from the hills to, you know, the barbecue. Yeah, everything, man. Tennessee is definitely where it's at, man. Tennessee is definitely where it's such a beautiful state, man. It's so hilly. It seemed like something out of a magazine.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they got their rough areas, which I spent a lot of my time at down there. But, you know, it's definitely a nice state, man. It's a nice state. And everybody's so damn friendly. Even in the projects.
That's what's up.
Man, you can go to anybody's house and eat. You can go from house to house to house to house to house and eat. They don't even know you. They're just offering you food. So
that's hilarious.
But you definitely got Tennessee. It's number four. Number three. New York City. Man, the nightlife in New York City is crazy. The atmosphere. If you ever go, you got the World Trade Center monuments. You got Ellis Island. There's so much stuff for you to see in New York City, man. It's like so much history. Ellis Island is live, but I bet they probably, after this COVID stuff, Ellis Island will probably be closed down for a while. Until all this stuff is gone. But there's so many people intermingling with each other, man. You see the old devices and books of where people were signing in, you know, fresh off the boat, you know, trying to become citizens and everything else like that. So that's pretty dope. Number two, Chicago, Illinois. Not just Chicago, Illinois, though. You got Evanston, Illinois. You got Petoskey. You got everywhere in Illinois, man. Illinois, their wildlife, the forest that they got out there, man, is crazy. It's waterfalls and everything, man. It's really dope. So anybody that hasn't been, of course, you know, Chicago is the big name in Illinois. But, you know, if you venture outside of Chicago and want to go to this forest, you know, visit the forest park, stuff like that, man, it's pretty dope. Number one. You know what? Wait. Forgot about Florida. Wow. Let's kick South kick South Dakota out. We'll put Florida in there. Disney World, man. Man, it's live. It's too damn hot, but it's live. You know, down there in Orlando, only thing I don't dig is the damn gators, wild gators on the side of the road. Like, you got to watch where you walk, especially if you got the young ones. You definitely dead. They'll be a meal. That's for damn sure. They'll definitely be a meal. The wild turkeys they got down there, man, are humongous. Cranes and everything. There's like so much wildlife that just, you know, it's crazy. Like, turkeys are like gangs, man. They walk down the street and you better get the hell out their way. Like, seriously. But those turkeys are humongous down there. I always wonder, like, gators don't be eating them? But it is what it is. You got Disney World. I went to Disney World down there, man. Took the kids. Had a blast. An amazing time. Florida is where it's up in Tampa. I've been to Tallahassee. I've been to Miami. I've been to Orlando. It's nice down there, man. It's too damn hot. Nice. It's too damn hot. My recommendation. Yeah. People want to go down there during the wintertime. But
yeah.
Number one is California. You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
Yeah.
You can't beat it. Los Angeles, beat it. San Diego, you can't beat it. You know, Sacramento, you can't beat it. San Francisco, you can't beat it. Oakland, you can't beat it. Los Angeles, man, my brothers. Los Angeles, where it's at. I'm telling you. You have such fun down there. It's just everybody is doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? It's everybody's networking. Everybody's trying to, you know, become something. But they just, you know, the way – and another thing that separates, you know, everything from everywhere else, like in New York City, which I found was fascinating. You know, even the homeless out there got a hustle. Everyone has –
yeah, they be on their grind.
Everyone has a hustle in New York. You know what I'm saying? They don't just sit there and beg you for money. They actually give you your money's worth in a street
performance.
Yeah. A show, a song, anything. You know what I'm saying? Even if they just sliding on their damn head, they're giving you a show.
Right.
They're doing something that's worth your dollar. Just a dollar. You know what I'm saying? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Putting on performances out there, pop locking and acting like robots and
flipping dancing
the place, actually putting together a full show that you will probably see like in a circus or somewhere out in Vegas or something. You know, I didn't put Vegas on my list in Nevada because I don't gamble. I don't give a damn about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't drink and I don't hire hookers. So why would I care about going to Vegas? That's not my thing. That's not what I'm interested in. It's not what I care about. Vegas is pretty boring to me. And I'm not.
I still want to check it out because I want to see the lights and all the beautiful. And
of course, you see the performances, you know, the Blue Man Group or whatever you like to do, whatever. You know, it's just, but Vegas, it's not that. It's not it for me. It never was, never will be. So, whatever. I can give my money to better things. But I definitely want to go. You know what I'm saying? I definitely want to go. But I just found no appeal.
I want to see that stadium too. That new Raiders stadium.
I definitely want to go to Vegas for the Raiders stadium. I definitely want to go. I think the Bears
got out
too. I think next year, or yeah, I think next year. I think the Bears play the Raiders in Oakland. Is it this year?
Look it up. We can find out.
But you know, when they play in Vegas, I definitely want to be there. I definitely want to go to that. But that's my top 10.
Sounds good.
California.
Sounds good.
California, Los Angeles, San Diego. They top number one.
Yeah. Man, when I was out there, I seen like where they did this film, White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah.
Santa Monica Pier. Like, man.
Venice. And
like you said, Venice Beach. Like you said, man, they grind different out there, bro. L.A. is just something special. It's not somewhere that everybody can live. But if you want to go and see like another life, they're on a different time zone. They're like 3 hours ahead of behind us. Like their whole grind and vibe is different out there. Super dope. So,
All right, that's live.
Good list, man.
Yeah, same to you, brother. Same to you.
For sure.
Booty-o!
Do we got time?
Got a little bit.
All right, so my next two places that I want to go, or three, I'll say three, is New York, Texas, and Nevada. I haven't been to either of those places. Those are my next three that I want to go to.
All right.
Yep. Booty-o's.
I might go to Texas for it.
We didn't even get a chance to talk about The Last Dance.
Man, you know, in all honesty.
Dang.
Last Dance is what it was. You know, it was a great. It was amazing. Watch. It wasn't nothing, you know, that we didn't already know. Hell.
But it was dope.
Yes, it just showed me how much I really hated Reggie Miller. I really couldn't stand the fringy man.
Reggie is my favorite shooter to this day, man.
It's just, ugh.
Reggie's my favorite shooter.
He was your favorite shooter?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he used to get on my damn nerves, man.
Speaking of it, I remember the 98 Eastern Final, but I did not remember the Pacers taking them to a Game 7 and the Bulls only winning 3-88. I did not remember it being that close.
Yeah, I told you they won 7 games.
Man, that's probably the only time after Jordan came back that he won 7 games.
That was the only time. But see, the crazy thing about it is that he only been to 2 Game 7s in his career.
And that's the Pistons. And that's the Pistons year when Scottie got that headache.
Yep. Mm-hmm. See, the crazy thing about it is that, you know, during that whole era and during that whole time, You know what I'm saying? It's just it's wild, man. And just to imagine that era, it was so much defense being played, and that's what people don't understand. Why are these games so low scoring? Because actual real defense was played, folks.
Yeah, there was a lot of low scoring games. Yeah. Those Utah Jazz Bulls games.
It clamped up. Man. All that wide open. Oh, coming across, shooting that. No, it didn't work because you didn't get that many opportunities to shoot. Number one.
Yeah.
Every possession was key in the playoffs during those times, yep. And actual defense was being played. And Cass was getting locked down, man. It clamped up when the playoffs started, and then in the Eastern Conference Finals and in the NBA Finals. Defense locked down. Like
that was crazy,
like it is today, where they just like giving you the green light to shoot all over the damn place, and everybody gets 100 damn possessions.
Right, 100 shots
being played. You know, you had to earn.
That was crazy that the Jazz played the Bulls. One of them games, the Bulls won by 42, 96-54.
Yeah,
I'm like, how do you score 54 points in the finals?
They got the clamps put on them, man.
The Warriors be putting up like 50 in the quarter sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just a different game, man. It's different rules, you know what I'm saying? Different rules to the game today, man. So
I got one question for you before we get into Bootios. I know we're going to get out of here, but how come the Jazz was so good in 97 and 98? I mean, Malone won the MVP, first team all defense, first team all this, all pro. Malone and the Jazz was so good in 97, 98. You would have thought that they could have ran through the Western Conference in 99. It was a shorter season. They finished 37-13. I mean, why couldn't Utah overcome Portland? Portland beat them in six in the second round.
You want to know why?
Yeah. Utah was better than that, man.
Yeah, but do you want to know why?
Yeah.
That's when Portland had a squad. They had Scottie Pippen. They had Rasheed Wallace. They had Bonzi Wells. They had Jermaine O'Neal. He was coming off the bench. They had a loaded squad.
Stoudemire. Derek Anderson.
They had a loaded squad, man. Now, Derek Anderson was still at Kentucky then.
Oh, okay.
They had a loaded squad. And that was probably – we should do a top 10 of most underachieving teams in sports history with Buffalo Bills leading the way, but followed up by the Portland Trail Blazers.
Seattle Supersonics gonna be on my list. They went 64-18 that year.
Yeah, but you ran into Jordan, so you wasn't gonna win. You wasn't gonna win, you know. But underachievers, man. If you want to talk about underachievers, the Portland Trailblazers of the early 2000s, late 90s,
even the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah,
I mean they had Weber, Divac, Hito Turkoglu, Stojakovic, Doug Christie, Bibby, Funderburk. They was deep. Them teams was deep.
In 98, a young man by the name of Tim Duncan came into the NBA that year, too. And when he did, Lord Jesus, they took over the West. At that point in time, Tim Duncan and David Robinson, that short season, they took over the West. And if the Bulls would have came back, I think the Bulls would have handled them easily. However.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You know, however. And plus, the Knicks made it that year. What the hell? But, you know.
They were an eighth seed.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Bulls would have easily got a seventh title out of that. But whatever. But, you know. And to the Bootios, man, short and sweet. The only person that gets the Bootios is the two young men who try to pull and try to be Jack boys. One from New York, the other one from Seattle.
The Booty! Oh!
I don't know. Who else you got?
I gotta give another one. I gotta give another one to Jerry Krause, man. I mean,
yeah.
He gotta get another one, bro.
Cue it, Marco.
The Booty. Oh.
Yeah.
That's right, Jerry Krause, you fat neck bastard. May you rest in piss.
That's disrespectful.
No, I ain't disrespectful. He did what he did, and he left behind his stank. The Bulls have never recovered since.
Yeah, man.
That bastard.
Yeah, that was that's messed up, man.
They ruined everything. You ruined the dynasty with Michael. Not only that, but the good Lord smiled down on you again and gave you Derrick Rose. And you ruined that.
Yeah.
God, my head hurts.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Udonis Haslam, man. He he made a very valid point. I mean, you know, Michael was Michael, and he said, Mike, the greatest of all time, but you can't call me the B word and the H word. We're gonna have
Udonis Haslam would have took it and sat his ass on the pine and been happy he would have been in the damn NBA. He wouldn't have did a damn thing. Shut his damn mouth. I hate people who do that.
Hey, man, I don't think UD was for no games, man.
Neither was Mike. You can't, listen to me.
Bro, listen to me. There's certain cats you can't pull that on, man.
When your career is on the line, you think they would give a damn about you, especially you trying to run up on Mike. He would have never played in the NBA again. Never. And he would have told the story about not only.
He would have got traded.
He wouldn't have got traded. He would have been done. You got to understand, bro. You heard David Stern say it out of his own damn mouth. Michael took us next level. He took
Michael took the league from 80 countries to 215.
Exactly. He took the years. Global. He took it next level. You think they would allow some bum, some scrub like Udonis Haslam to try to put hands on Mike? Probably the team would have whooped his ass. Not only that, so you get your ass whooped and you get thrown out of the NBA. Udonis just talks, okay?
It's just certain guys. Yeah, but there's certain guys that you know you can't pull that on. Like Mike wouldn't have pulled it on Oakley.
When he was screwing up in Miami and LeBron was checking his ass, where was all that tough guy crapped in? He sat there and he took it.
I mean, it's a difference between being held accountable as a teammate and being disrespected.
He sat there and took it.
LeBron didn't disrespect nobody because LeBron ain't cut like that.
We don't know what the hell LeBron did.
LeBron ain't cut like that. LeBron too nice.
How you going to say he ain't cut? Because he wants to be liked too much.
He ain't like Mike.
Wait. How you going to say what he ain't cut like when this is the same kid who cussed his mother out on national TV?
Bro, that.
Uh-uh. I don't want to hear it. Don't say what people ain't like.
He said, mom, sit your A down. He didn't cuss his mom out.
Bro, would you ever tell your mama to sit your ass? Oh, wait. Would you ever tell your mama to sit your ass down?
No, but he didn't cuss her out.
I don't want to hear that, bro.
It's not the same, man.
Stop.
It's not the same. You know LeBron ain't cut like that, bro. Come on, man.
Stop, bro.
Come on. Stop.
We've seen LeBron.
LeBron ain't cut like that.
And berate teammates. We've seen him disrespect head coaches. Your point
is what? LeBron never got into no fights in 17 years because he want people to like him too much and he can't scrap. He ain't cut like that. Come on, man.
How do you know?
Okay, bro. I'm done. We over our time anyway, man.
Come on, he can't scrap. How do you know?
Half them cats can't scrap. Stop playing.
Try one and get your ass knocked out. Try one.
Yeah, okay, Debo.
BMW beat you down. Who else wants some? Who else wants some of Debo?
You talking about, they can't scrap. Half of them can't scrap. You know,
Who seen Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson?
They come from the same hoods you come from.
Man. Stand up there looking like two old men.
I tell you, you wouldn't take a shot from one of them.
I'm just saying, man. LeBron, come on.
We know LeBron ain't cut like that. We don't know that, bro. We don't know this man in his personal life. This kid grew up in Akron, Ohio, bro. That's a hoop.
Okay.
That is the ghetto.
How come he never fought nobody?
Why?
Never. In 17 years.
Why?
All the times he was getting ready to get into it with somebody.
He tried.
He never got to no fights.
He tried. You gotta understand, it's a different league, bro. A different league. Out of all of them that got drafted in the 03 class, there was only one person that had a fight. That was Carmelo.
Hello, we fight in New York when it was him and Jerry Jeffries.
Bro,
and
he socked the living hell out of my man. Socked the hell out of him and didn't realize, I'm on TV.
Who was that, Ronaldo Blackman?
I don't know. He punched the hell out of whoever that was because he didn't want no parts after he got punched.
But he came in there and ran away.
He was trying to back up after he punched him because he realized what the hell he did. He was on national TV.
He came in way after the fight was over, sucker punched my man, and ran away, bro.
Hey, call it what you want. He claimed him. So, hey, call it what you want.
Man. All right, man.
We can't say. That's like saying you went to Northern. You can't scrap.
That's a joke.
You see what I'm saying? Like, wow. How do you know? Oh, because
I got into fights.
I can say these dudes never went to Northern. I can say half of the cats that went to Pontiac Northern can't scrap. They too busy trying to look pretty. You see what I'm saying? That's a bad stereotype.
Yeah, but
we can't
just
say
like,
that because they're professional athletes. A lot of these cats come from the hood.
Man, LeBron James never got into a fight, man. Find me a tape.
Oh, bro. It has nothing to do with saying the man can't fight.
All right. I'll leave it alone. And I ain't trying to take a shot at his manhood. All I'm simply saying is this. He ain't cut like that.
We don't know.
So, in other words, if Udonis Haslam got disrespected by LeBron, hands would have been laid upon him. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think so.
Because I think UD cut like that.
No, he
didn't. It's certain players that's – come on, man. It's certain players you know. You don't mess with them guys, man. You don't mess with an Anthony Mason. You don't mess with a Zach Randolph. It's certain guys you just not – you don't want to mess with them. David West, it's certain guys you just don't mess with them. You don't want to go there with them.
Bro, I don't watch David West get bowled all in the face intentionally. Intentionally.
You're funny, cuz.
And he did nothing. So, I mean, it's – certain cat. I don't watch Anthony Peeler. I don't watch Anthony Peeler punk plenty of cats, bro.
Y'all see Anthony Peeler fire on KG.
You see what I'm saying? I don't watch KG is supposed to be a tough guy in the NBA.
But see, KG is a trash talker. KG is a trash talker. He ain't never did nothing. It's certain dudes, you don't want to go there with them. Like, I think Dame Lillard, one of them guys. Dame Lillard, cool. He real even cool. He real laid back.
The ones that's really about that action, they don't want no parts. Ron Artest?
Yeah.
Udonis Haslam ain't want that smoke plenty of times. He ain't want it.
I mean,
so again, name
a situation where UD had to get tested, though. That's when we get into
something.
He was
tested by Ron Artest. Christmas Day, Heat versus Lakers.
What, was he just irritating him?
What you want to do? He ain't want that smoke.
Man, come on, man.
He ain't want that smoke. Come on, man. I think they pick
you. You got to look at each situation is different. Each situation is different.
Another show. We definitely
want to
talk about that, though.
That's a good one. You're right. That's a good one.
As players. NFL and NBA. That's definitely a conversation for the next show. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully we made your day a little bit
bigger.
And a little bit brighter. Make sure to tune in to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And hit us up on the Gmail at TheBigAndBrightShow, at Instagram, at Facebook, at Twitter, at whatever.
Yep.
We're there, ladies and gentlemen.
Look us up.
Matter of fact, and also, folks, look, we realize that people want to be free. People want to do their thing. But look, man, it's like people woke up and overnight, they just seem to forgot about this COVID-19 like it don't exist no more. It's alive and well, folks, and it's still taking people out. And now it's even jumped to the kids, which is even more scary.
I seen like 10 kids playing basketball in a park in Detroit 3 days ago.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, but, you know, this is the second wave rolling around. So remember, folks, 6 feet apart or?
6 feet under.
That's exactly what we're saying. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoy your day, enjoy your night, enjoy your evening. Lead us out, Deuce.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.